contractor came out and looked at the electrical to see if there was a fault that we could just repair, and that's not it. So we've troubleshot it to the point that now we need to pull it and see.
Well, if it seized up on you, it's probably a bearing.
So we're not sure.
It's not on a VFD, is it? Okay, well, pulling the motor is one thing. You pull on the whole pump's a different thing. But you're pretty sure that it was the motor that seized up and not the pump.
We are not positive.
Well, you're still hanging, right? So you should be able to turn the pump itself. If the pump is not seized up, you should still be able to turn it because you're hanging. And you should be able to do that if unless the motor's locked up or something and it won't allow you to do that. But when you take it off, you should be able to tell whether or not, you pull the motor, you should be able to tell whether or not you can turn the shaft still. Mm-hmm. So, because it's a minimum of 4 to 5 days pulling a pump of that depth. It's what, probably 800 foot set?
That one is not. That one is, I think it's 490 feet.
490 feet?
Yeah, the well itself is close to 900 feet, but the setting right now is 490.
10 inch column pipe or 8 inch?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, when you get the motor off and you find out whether or not it's the motor, then you have a to pull the pump and check the pump out. We had a fund set up for in the budget for public works for
rehab.
Well, yeah, rehab. For water, well, water rehabs, mm-hmm. in the event that they would occur. It was $500,000, wasn't it?
Something along that line.
Do you know what that was, Spencer? We set it up in the budget. So we would allow them to utilize the budget for what it was set up for.
Yeah.
Knowing that we were going to, have these issues. So the only thing we're looking at is making it an emergency to get it done faster.
Yeah. So that we don't have to go through the statutory bid documentation.
Yeah, most of getting a quote from somebody is availability too. I mean, it could be two to six weeks out, to have somebody come and do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. So if Snyder's here and ready and available, exactly. And they are reputable, so
mm-hmm.
We just charge a lot.
Yes, but that if we too. Can get somebody else that has a lower quote and can be here in the same amount of time, then we can go a different direction. But
okay. Yeah, I don't know who you call on, but I've always had really good luck with Lane of Washington, James Brock, down in Pasco. And they work very fast. They're very good. But no, it's your discretion, whatever you decide.
Any other questions for Robin? Entertain a motion to adopt this resolution 2025-06.
I'll make a motion on behalf of that.
Yeah. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
I think you just had a little clarification question there about that. It would be $150,000 for well and well site repair and maintenance. But that's something that we budget every year, and that's all. But then lower further down by $500,000 with reference, that's for the well 7.
Well, 7 or 6?
7. Well, 7 hasn't been out of the hole in its lifetime, and it is not producing as much water as it was originally. So we want to pull it and see if there's any issues with there, we can rehab it at all to bring it back up to.
Is that the one out on Bench Road?
Yes.
Is that an open hole?
I don't know.
I mean, it would probably be cased to 400 feet and then open hole. But if it has a casing pipe in it all the way down, and perforated casings they'll blind off. So,
and I haven't looked at that one to find out what it looks like.
You might sonar jet it and see if you can get some more water coming towards it.
So that's what that money is for, so that we can get a contractor in here to start looking at it and see if it needs pulled and what information we can get.
Okay, great. I knew we'd put some money away. That one's done.
So let's go to item B, which is financial analysis amendment to our water system plan. And again, we have Robin here to explain that issue.
Concert was hired to update the city's water system plan, and we are approaching the end of that. The financial analysis was not included in the original proposal. So they've coordinated with FCS, who has previously done our financial analysis for our last water system plan, and they provide the scope and cost for the amendment to the water system plan agreement. The water system plan amendment covers the total cost of providing water, evaluating the past income and expenses for the utility, provide the city with the strategy to successfully implement the CIP projects for the next 10 years, which is when we'll have to do another water system plan, and establish adequate fees. So there's a fee rate for the next 10 years, and demonstrate the financial capacity of the city to develop, construct, operate, and maintain and manage its system with all of our requirements. The amended water system plan budget will come from the Water Utility Fund, and we recommend that we approve the the contract and coordinate with FCS. Consor can coordinate with FCS to do the financial analysis.
Do you have an amount?
I attached the amendment, and in it has the direct expense.
$49,000
total expense of.
On page 5.
Need my glasses.
$49,000.
Thanks.
Just under
$50,000.
Okay, we did this once before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long ago was that?
2018.
I think our last water system plan date is 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Requirement of the water system plan. We do a financial analysis.
We have to have an up-to-date.
Yeah.
Plan if we're looking to get money from.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
To accept the amendment 1 financial analysis to the water system plan.
I'll second that motion.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Great. Let's now move to item C, adopting an ordinance for Adams County Solid and Hazardous Waste. And the city's representative to the Adams County Solid Waste Advisory Committee is our engineering tech, Cameron Williamson. Cameron is here to discuss that agenda item with the city council.
Evening, council. I've been a part of the Solid Waste Advisory Committee for about a year now. We started working on the solid and hazardous waste management plan updates. It's a requirement by the state as a recognized plan to update it every 6 years, same as our water system plan, our local road safety plan. This went through the basic revision process. State laws has updated the new policies, Washtenaw landfill being opened. Major change was just basic policies. We're keeping our same tipping rates, $80. The county public works director doesn't foresee that changing for the next 5 years unless a major drastic event occurs. Our current interlocal agreement is good until 2028, I do believe. This plan covers 2025 to 2030. We would continue the same processes using the county for solid waste and CDSI for their services. This is the basic adoption like we had back in 2016 or 2017 with the last plan. So our staff recommendation is to approve and adopt the ordinance. And
so you're a member of the committee. What have you guys come up with for recycling?
Recycling, we've currently got cardboard centers. Todd has put together, the county public works director has. So we recycle steel, cardboard, glass. There's no real center that takes glass, aluminum. You have to pay to recycle aluminum anymore. Depends on market for what we do recycle. We're not big enough to offer curbside recycling unless we wanted to contract that through CDSI.
No, so. I'm concerned because we got two large manufacturing facilities mm-hmm. that generate a tremendous amount of cardboard waste and paper and plastic waste mm-hmm. daily.
So,
and there's really no option.
McCain's boxes they're one of the biggest producers here in Othello. They have 3 to 4 boxes a day, 40-yard contract boxes. They go out to the Bruce transfer station and they go to the cardboard baling plant. Those get packaged up and sent off. I think we take it somewhere on the west side. I'm not exactly sure where we're taking the cardboard.
Okay, so you're only doing cardboard with them still?
That's the biggest, yeah.
Yeah, but they produce probably 25 to 30,000 pounds of plastics from their packaging waste mm-hmm. Monthly. And there's no outlet for that.
There's not a good recycling center anywhere close to us. There's one in Seattle. There's nothing here on this side of the state. I don't think we've looked at the cost for transport.
Just curious of whether or not you have inquired in regard to what state funding would be available for
managing that.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to Todd about that. I wasn't aware of those quantities. Yeah, we might be able to look into that.
Yep.
So is the county covering the complete costs of the comp plan?
Yes. Yep. They've put in $60,000 to $70,000 with their consultant.
You want a motion?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make go ahead.
You want me to make it?
You make it.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance approving and adopting the Adams County Comprehensive Solid Waste and Hazardous Waste Management Plan for years 2025 through 2030.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item D, and that is an introduction to STEP housing and some changes to our OMC. Tonight, our community development director, Ann Henning, is going to have that discussion with the city council. Ann?
Thank you. So these are some changes to the municipal code to bring us into compliance with state law. I've been working with the Department of Commerce, and I did send this to our city attorney. She gave me some comments. There needs to be a few changes that you would see before this comes back. Kind of the summary is that the state requires certain definitions for emergency shelter, temporary housing, things like that. And so we need to add those. And then we need to allow them in our zones based on whether we allow hotels or residences in those zones. And so I put it all in one ordinance rather than putting it into the zoning. I just thought that would be simpler to understand, have it in one place. Then a further requirement is that we can't have different requirements for affordable housing than we would have for market rate housing of the same form. And then the last one is that religious organizations can host homeless encampments if they want to, and the state already allows that. There are certain things that if we want to require, we have to adopt by ordinance. And so those are the things that I put in the draft ordinance, are those things that we can't enforce if we don't adopt them. So those are what's listed there. Then I need to say about it at this point. Planning Commission will be holding a public hearing next week. And so then they'll have a recommendation for you after that. I guess at this point, I would want to see if there are any questions, comments, things you would like to talk about.
City Council.
Who's funding it, Sean?
The STEP grant?
CLIP
housing.
For the funding for the ordinance changes and things is through that, but actual funding of the housing, is that what you're asking? So I guess, let me say that what the changes to the code would not require any of this stuff to be built. It just, we're changing the code. So if somebody brings in a project, it can go through the process.
Yeah, but if we're providing emergency housing for people, is that done privately or is that done through the city? I mean, do we have to have?
We're not required to provide it. We're required to make it, make our code so that if somebody wants to provide it, they can.
Okay, so it's done privately. It's outside of the city.
Yes.
Control.
Yep. Yep.
So like what I'm thinking in my mind, if somebody needs emergency housing, it's because they went to a home and there was something going on there and they wanted to get people away from that situation and they put them in emergency housing. And then, you know,
that's there's a lot of scenarios. So if you look at that step fact sheet, there's four types of housing. There's the emergency shelter, transitional housing, emergency housing, and permanent supportive housing. And those are the four areas that this addresses. I think what's important for the council tonight is to examine the information and also recognize that this was state required changes adopted by the state legislature. Apparently making it easier to build this type of housing, but nevertheless, they have a definition for each type and the city is not required, the county is not required to build this housing. What they're doing is setting guidelines through our codes that we have to adopt we have to adopt our codes to their guidelines. Is that right, Ann?
Yes, we can't prohibit any of these housing types and we have to allow them in the zones. So emergency shelter and emergency housing, we have to allow anywhere we already allow hotels and we have to allow all, sorry, I get confused about which thing is which. So transitional housing, permanent supportive housing, any zones where dwelling units or hotels are allowed, which is basically all of our residential zones and all of our commercial zones. And then emergency shelters, emergency housing, any zones where hotels are allowed, which is C2 and C3.
Okay. So basically we're just going to create an ordinance that allows this to happen within our city. We do not, as a city, have to provide that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. So is Ryan Burns, isn't he our consultant? No.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. All right. I forgot who our CLIP consultant was. CLIP grant.
So it's SCJ Alliance. But so, and also Hope Source. So we have, we're dealing with two consultants, one for the housing policy stuff, one for the homelessness plan. And then I'm doing the code changes. Rather than paying a consultant to bring this to you, I am doing this part because the CLIP funding was $50,000. So that only goes so far when you're paying consultants.
So this is informational only. There's some things you need to develop with regard to our, with the city attorney, with regard to our ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll come back at a later time and we'll discuss this more at length.
Yes.
We might have SCJ Alliance at that meeting then or not.
No, because they're not doing this part of it. We could have the Department of Commerce if we want more explanation of what's required. I've been working with Laura Hodgson and she said she can attend meetings if needed.
Okay.
So if we create this ordinance, can we create our own restrictions? Because, you know, would you really want some of this to take place in residential areas? I mean, I know I wouldn't like to see one popping up next door to me if there's, you know.
So it's going to depend on the zone that you're in. So if you're in an R1 zone, it would have to be a single family type development. So one house per lot. If you're in an R2 zone, it can be two units. If you're in an R4 zone,
it has to match the zoning.
But
right. Yeah. You can only do something that it's at the same density and scale as is allowed in the zoning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I recommend the council review it more. If you have questions, talk to Ann. And talk to me. And yes, Chris,
sure.
Real quickly,
I think that this item, among many others, I highly recommend anyone who has questions, concerns, wants to be part of this discussion, to consider coming to the Planning Commission meetings. I know we've had some debates and discussions in the past that I think that if we had even more participation from city councilors who are concerned about particular issues, we could definitely have a very robust approach to how we make these rules and how we make a recommendation to you all. And to have you all be part of that in that process, especially as large as our group has gotten and diverse as our group has gotten, I think will only make us better and bring an even better recommendation to you all. I think there's things in here that there's a lot, we had to do a lot of review already on this. The laws are pretty strict as to what you can disallow. So be careful of that. And I think that it would be helpful for us on the Planning Commission and also I think for you all to hear where that discussion goes. So that would be my recommendation for not just this but any of the issues that we bring up with the Planning Commission. This is where we really vet them out. So
is the Planning Commission made any recommendations so far on this, or is this still
we do not out? Have a recommendation. We are still in review. We made a bunch of recommendations about different things that we were concerned about that we wanted looked at and if they could legally happen. So, I mean, that's kind of the process. You know, if you want to brainstorm, the Planning Commission is for the brainstorming. And this is a great, like any of these issues.
Well, I understand, to come to. You know, I understand the fact that we got to fulfill the state requirements. I mean, I understand that, that's given.
Yeah, we don't have much room in that.
But the only control we have over what we can do with regard to fulfilling those requirements is where do we locate them? Where can we put them, you know, where can we allow them to happen? You know what I'm saying? If you have a transient...
Well, until somebody private does it.
Yeah, if you have like a transient church. Hotel, you know, where you have people moving in and out, and the state funds them to you know, as temporary housing and stuff like that, they're usually pretty, you know, not being derogatory, but they are pretty trashy, okay? They're not something you want to hang out around and be have in the middle of your town, you know? And there's a lot of that happening throughout cities all over, you know, because the state's requiring it. But the only control we have over that is where we can locate.
Except that we don't have that control.
Yeah, we don't have that control.
We have to allow in zones where hotels are allowed. We have to allow the shelters and emergency housing. And the other... So I guess that was what you were talking about. So if we allow a hotel in that zone, we have to allow emergency shelters and emergency housing.
Right.
Only regulate it.
But you just got through telling me that it's the private entity, like not all hotels want to participate in temporary housing and transient housing for people. So for an individual to... you know, invest money into a hotel and then say, okay, I'm going to sign up for, you know, emergency housing. And I'm assuming he gets paid by the state, you know, for providing housing for emergency, you know, for families or whatever, because they're left homeless or whatever. You know, I'm not seeing that occurring. There's not even anybody wanting to build a hotel in Othello right now. I mean, we've talked about it for many years now. But
I think we're getting closer.
So this is, okay, maybe I didn't understand what I read in there, but the way I understood it is the changes that are going to take place are requirements. We don't have a choice. So it's this discussion here seems like it's more complicated than it has to be.
Councilman Everett, if I could. So one of the things that we talked about on the Planning Commission is exactly some of the concerns that Councilman Lawless brought forward. And what we thought is, okay, if we are tied in these situations, is there rules that we can put in place for screening so that we can make things look as good as possible? So that we can have some separation in certain circumstances. Now, how within the rules that we have that we're going to have to live under for the state, do we have some leeway to protect it, to make the best possible outcome for our community? In some cases, I think there's probably some areas that we have to be very careful about activities and such. And then the other side of it, we also want to create as much opportunity, you know, for victims of domestic violence being taken out of a situation as soon as possible and put into some place where they can be safe. So it's kind of finding that sweet spot that makes sense for Othello that I think we could use a lot of help on, if that makes sense.
It does. That was very articulate.
Thank you.
So with this, I guess I want to clarify. Yeah, I just want one more clarification.
Sure.
So are we talking about this change will go through all existing areas in the city that are zoned, not just new developments?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to item 5, our unfinished business. Do we have unfinished business tonight? In new business, I do have Chief Rim had a piece of new business.
Just like to remind the council that it's Telecommunicator Week this week, a week where we celebrate our dispatchers. We've got a great crew, and if you want to stop by and say hello to them at any time during this week, it'd be a good week to do it.
Telecommunicator Week. Okay. Any other new business, council? All right. Item seven, the council will also receive building and planning report from March, the Lighthouse first quarter report, the legislative report for April, the latest legislative report, and then the Public Works Department monthly report in March. With no further business come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 6:43 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a good process. I don't know right now. That one.